standard of God. No. It says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What God is after is us being involved with Him in His glory. So, God has always been interested in something more than you meeting a standard, you behaving well, etc., etc., etc. He has been interested in your very heart being caught up with Him so that you choose the things that are right. By ourselves, we can't do that. God has to help us in all these things. Now, along the way, there was a man, an insignificant man, who was nothing, had no status, nothing that you would make him think, now there's an impressive guy. And God took this man, and this man had a heart after God. He loved God. He delighted over God. He so loved and delighted over God that he would worship Him. He found ways to praise Him and exalt Him. And this man, because he so loved God, God caused him to grow in stature in the eyes of men and before Him. And he ended up in places that were so much higher than he could have ever have expected to be in. And this man who delighted in God, what did he do? He committed adultery and murdered his friend so that he could have his friend's wife. How is that possible? How do you have an experience with God that causes you to be so delighted over Him that you are dancing wildly and you don't care what anybody else thinks? You have an experience with God and a relationship and a fellowship with God that causes you to see what is going to happen well before it does. You know, many of the prophecies concerning the Messiah came through David. How is it possible that you have this heart that longs to worship God and you end up doing such horrible things? You know, I was thinking about, I'm sure my experience by no means is unique. One of the songs that we sang today during our worship time, I first heard a man who was clearly someone who just loved to worship the Lord play it. I remember hearing it on an album, and I was so moved by both that song, but also other songs that this person sang. Their whole ministry was about worshiping the Lord. It was such a moving thing. It wasn't just they sang nice songs. There was obviously something more going on than just singing songs. There was this involvement and this longing for the Lord that was being expressed. And this man put out more than one album, and I remember thinking about it, and then he sort of disappeared. I was thinking, what happened? Well, sometimes I shouldn't do this. I went digging. It turns out he was caught in adultery. And as you can imagine, that sort of put a stop, at least temporarily, on his ministry of leading people worship. And again, made me think, how is that possible? How is it that you could have this experience with God, in the presence of God, that is so moving that other people are affected by it? Like this particular ministry, somebody that I know who had cancer that had spread all over his body. And so he had a very bad prognosis. But this man was so helped by this ministry of this worship leader that he just began to worship. I mean, the guy was already a worshiper, but this at that point in time, this other man's ministry just sort of clicked and helped him. He just got so involved with worshiping God that he was completely set free from that cancer. And there are people here who know who I'm talking about. If you don't know who I'm talking about, I'll be glad to put you in touch with them. This is a living person that I know who was delivered from cancer. And at the core of that deliverance was this man's absolute devotion to the Lord. He was going to worship the Lord, whatever happened. He said at one point in time in his treatment, he was so sick from the medicine that he had to take that all he could do is he had to crawl to the piano bench, and he just sort of sat there and he just sang to the Lord with all his heart. This is what his way through it was. So this other man that I'm referring to, the man who was caught in adultery, it was not some guy putting out CDs. This was a significant thing, and yet he was caught in adultery. How is that possible? How is that possible? It's possible because both in David's case and this other man's case and any other person that you want to bring up, they stop worshiping. I don't mean they put an end to their worship career, but in the moment, they weren't worshiping the Lord. See, there are so many situations where people have an experience with God, and it is marvelous. It is a marvelous thing to have an encounter with God that, however term you want to use, supernatural, out of this world, you know, you're left with this experience that you can't necessarily logically define. As marvelous as that is, that does not mean you are somehow immune from stumbling. Our experiences with God, as marvelous as they must be, cannot take the place of our decision, our choice to always worship Him. And let me, for the sake of time, let me redefine, or let me put this perspective on what I mean by worship Him. At all times, may your goal be, I want Him to be pleased. Okay, that isn't the best definition of worship, but it is at the very heart of worship. Okay, worship is not about singing songs. It's not about throwing incense in the air or waving flags. None of that. At the heart of it is, I want you to be pleased. I want you to be pleased. So, yes, David, in the case of David, he was sitting on his rooftop. And it was the time when kings go to war, that passage opens up. Meaning, he ought to be taking care of business and he's at home. And in that environment, he sees Bathsheba bathing. Again, why are you doing that? Okay? And one thing led to another, and a cascade that resulted in all sorts of trouble for David happened. What happened? He stopped worshiping there. He stopped saying, I want you to be pleased with my choice, with the thoughts that rule me, with my attitudes. I want you to be pleased. My goal is that you would be delighted over what I chose in that circumstance. The moment that stops in our life, it's almost like the help that comes from God is also stopped. At the end of the day, when all is said and done, I know we have teachers and we have administrators and we have business people and we have carpenters and we have all sorts of people in our midst. We have fathers, we have mothers. We have husbands, we have wives, we have people who are single. However you are described, at the end of the day, what you were made for was to worship Him. It is at the very core of who we are. In other words, it is at the very core of how everything God wants to do for us can work. See, God is not just... I am convinced that God wants more than just to tell you, don't commit adultery, now watch your step. He wants to be the help by which you don't. And that happens by this attitude of worship. The problem that David had, the problem that this other worship leader had, the problem that you and I have, even if we haven't done anything so dramatic as you know, I mean, David's life is recorded for everybody thereafter to read. And most of us at least, if not all of us here, don't have that kind of experience. But every place where we have stumbled, at its core was this. In that moment, I stopped worshiping. In that moment, I stopped worshiping. There's much more to be said about worship. Somebody who I admire said, why does God require us to worship? Well, it's because you become what you behold. You know, people bow down in front of carvings, and they bow down in front of philosophies, and they don't realize that they're becoming like that. They bow down before their work. They bow down before their family. They don't realize that they are becoming like that. They are becoming preoccupied with their family or preoccupied with work. And so God commands us, worship me and me alone. Because I want you to be like me. I want you to be caught up with me. I want to be so involved with you. So with all that you are and all that you do. So I'm not saying stop your work. Come, we're going to rent out Banff Trail Hall 7 days a week and we're just going to sing songs to the Lord. That is not what I'm saying to you. Okay? Because worship is much more than the songs you sing. Worship is how you live your life. We are worshipers. We don't have a worship time. We are worshipers. So when Diana goes to work and takes care of those children, God wants her to worship with her work. When Gloria is at home helping with the kids, there is an act of worship that's available there. When Norman is doing the things that he has to do, when Anne is doing the things that he has to do, when I'm doing the things that I have to do, when all of us, okay? At every moment, may your heart worship the Lord. May the goal of your life be, I want you pleased with how I react to this person who just yelled at me. I want you to be pleased with my response to this person who was nasty. I want my attitude towards how I do my laundry to be pleasing to you. I want the way I dress to be pleasing to you. I want the way I cut my hair to be pleasing to you. This is not to say that we all have some formula that we're supposed to meet, but the attitude of the heart is what matters. You know? So if God says, Titus, next week I want you to dress in a pink tutu, then I come in a pink tutu. I don't know why. And let me be careful here, okay? Because we can so easily fly off into an extreme and now everybody has to wear pink tutus because God said. No, it's the attitude of the heart that is the issue. If I have an attitude that says, I will do whatever you want, but nobody tells me how to dress. Nobody tells me how to cut my hair. Nobody tells me whether I can wear makeup or not. The issue isn't the makeup. It isn't the haircut. It isn't the clothes. It is the attitude of heart that says, nobody tells me what to do. That opens the door for trouble. And instead, worship him at all times. That is the answer. It is the secret for how we can stay on track. Right? So as you go into your day, as we finish our time here, you can tell the Sunday school we're done. May the thought inside you continually come back to, I want you to be pleased in this next little thing I have to do here. I want you to be pleased. I want my choices to please you. And step at a time, God helps you. And you stay in the salvation of God. I don't mean that you can somehow escape it, but salvation is to be much more than I get to go to heaven at the end of my life. Salvation is the description of God himself coming and making this man what he was meant to be. And helping this man in the face of everything that comes against him. And helping this man accomplish why he was made. Salvation is how we choose what is right. It is how we do what is kind and loving. It is how. And so we want salvation to completely overtake us in every way. In some ways I'm being dramatic, but I don't think I can express this dramatically enough, just how much God wants to help us. And the way is opened by, let's worship him. By all means, sing songs. But it has to be more than singing songs. Right? It has to be, man, Father, I just want to give you thanks. The moment I wake up, I want to say, you are good to me. And I want to do what you want me to do today. I want to be caught up with your purpose, your agenda. I want to worship you. So I just ask you to help me. And, you know, step by step, God helps us with these things. And we stay on track. Amen. Thank you very much. Okay, so if you'd be so kind as to help us just to part the sea of chairs, and we can bring our tables out, and then we get ready for our...